Good morning, church. It's great to be back again, to be able to share with you my findings today. How are you today? How are you this morning? This is a normal question that normally people will ask. But you know what the response is? The response nowadays is always, I'm fine, I'm thank you, good, I'm still alive. Have you heard that before? If you're in touch with people, you know that people are very depressed today. A lot of people are not, can't accept the new normal. Of course, I'm not asking you to really accept it, but it's here. There's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can, the law has been passed, and we are all in this together. There's no just you. All right, I'm very excited this morning, and especially, in fact, I've been very excited about reading about the book of John. Every time I read on John, it always got my stir my excitement. And as every single time, I think when you read John, it is a book of testimonies, stories. And this is all these stories and testimonies is fascinating to hear that stories, just like Shakila, who shared her story this morning. It's stories that point us to something. It gives up stories that probably stir our excitement, stir our hearts. Now this is, today as we go into John, I just want you to feel the same excitement with me. And I hope that you're excited about reading your John, and you're doing well with your John. If not, you better get reading. I think what happened is that this book, this is a very, very special book. As last week I shared some facts with you, today I will still share some facts with you. I'll just give you a bit of facts every single day, every single week about my finding. All right? When you read John, you will find that John is a book of salvation. Why do you call it a book of salvation? Because it's for people who have not known Christ. It's not just for Christian. It's for Christian, that is, it's for non-Christian as well. Non-churchgoer, non-believers. People who've never heard Jesus Christ before. So this is a salvation book, a book that can pass on to anyone who have not heard the gospel. And second, this is also an evangelistic book. Are you following Jesus today? If you are a disciple of Christ, then this is a book that you need to get into. This is the book you really need to get familiar with so that you know who you are preaching, who you are sharing. You know who this Jesus is to you. And a lot of scholars have also said that this book is also the Holy of Holies. Why? Because of all the four Gospels, John Gospel is the only one who explain, who go into detail and share the truth of the origin of Jesus Christ. Now, with all testimonies, with all the stories that's going on, what are we trying to get at? It only comes down to one ultimate question, to ask, who is Jesus? This book, when you read from the beginning to the end, you have to bear in mind asking yourself, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? It's a very personal question that you have to ask. And I invite you to keep asking yourself as we go through John. All right? Now, this book, when you read, you will find there's lots of transformation. And one obvious transformation was Apostle John. Apostle John, as we know last time, he was known as, Jesus gave him a nickname. Call him the son of thunder. Well, short temper. He's probably hot temper kind of person. But eventually he became an apostle of love. Why? How come? You have to read John. But I give you some facts first. All right? Why he was called the apostle of John? Apostle of love. Because when you read John, you'll find this. He gives reference to love 57 times, more than the three books combined. And if you read all his writings, John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, all add up together, it was a staggering 116 times that he keep on saying love, 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 referencing to God's love, referencing to the love for God. So he's the apostle of love. What makes him? You look at the other apostles, the other authors, the other gospel. They say something about love, but not so much. But John is the only one. The look at the numbers is so shocking. And there's another two more truths that I want you to know. One is truth and the other is belief. When you read John, all right, pay attention to these three words. Love, truth, and belief. Love, truth, and belief. Look at the number again. In John alone, you got 26 times mentioned about truth. And there's only twice happening in the three gospels. I'm not saying that the three gospels have no truth, but the words only truth came out 26 times, way more than the other three. And when you look at the word believe, it was an astounding 94 times. With three books combined, it was way leading the whole of the gospel. Now you know why? You know why Apostle John was so excited? Now why I'm so excited? Because if you look at this, with these three things added, three words added together, is the theme of what John was written for. Remember John chapter 20 verse 30, 21? It was written to you, this book was written so that you may know Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, so that by knowing his name, by believing in his name, you have life. That's what I rephrase it for, paraphrase it for you. If you put these three words together, believe in the truth about Jesus so that you may enter a love relationship with God. How do you like that? Are you excited now? Are you excited about all this? If you believe in the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, who he was, so that you may enter a love relationship with God. That's for you. That's for us. Now, what is the scripture talking about today? This is enough about this. We have to go to, when we begin this journey, today we're going to start from only five verses, starting from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 5. So I hope that you have already been reading through it. I hope that you are excited at this. Now, the first thing it asks right from the beginning, John asked the question, who is Jesus? Ask the question, who is Jesus? In a nutshell, in these five verses, it gives you three things. It gives you Jesus is God, Jesus is the maker, and Jesus is the life. He is the life of light. That's why he given us this. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. Now, we got to stop here right now. Pause a bit. I just want to tell you that this statement here is a strategic wording. It's a strategy of John. John planned this so carefully that he, just in the first statement, he was trying to capture his audience. Why do I say that? The audience he was trying to capture was the Jew and the non-Jew. In other words, he was trying to capture the whole world. Remember last week when I showed you that this is the book for the world? This is the book for everyone, not just for Christian. It's for everyone to read about it. All right? Why do I say that? In the beginning was the word. The word here, in the Greek language, Greek text, it means logos. Logos means logic. It means reason. It means that these Greek people love logic. They love reasoning with things. Why? Because they have so much desire to search for the meaning and purpose of life. So that's why they always believe the truth about life, that if the truth about life is always about logical and reasonable. If it's true, it has to be logical and reasonable. So the moment when John said, in the beginning was the Logos. It caught the non-Jew because they were in the Greek culture. They were there. Now in these, the Greek has two schools of thoughts. It drilled down to, first of all, one group of people will say, I'm going to die anyway. Why bother? So you see these kind of people with this kind of philosophy, they will party their life away. They will waste their life away. They don't care about anybody else but themselves. Because they know that I'm going to die anyway, so I'm going to rob the bank. I'm going to die anyway, so I'm going to kill you. So either way, why do I bother? So these people develop a kind of sense of selfishness and only look after themselves. Now there's another group of people, philosophers, who say that what is the purpose of existence? Now these are the people who are thinker. They are the great philosopher like Plato. All right, look up, Google it, Greek philosopher. You got hundreds of them coming out. These people give us great ideas that has a philosophy that influenced our world today. They were the one who think about what is the meaning of life. Since I'm here, there must be a purpose. Which are you? Then the Greek. In the beginning was the word. It really resonates with the Jew as well. Why? Because they have the Old Testament. They have the Old Testament. The moment when they read it, when John say in the beginning, straight away, what comes up to their mind? The story of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It came out. Wow. God created everything in the beginning. So, and then the special thing was about this was that in the beginning was the word. When John said this, they can resonate so well because they remember the story of creation was that God said something happened. God said something and something came into being. So church, this was their background. It didn't caught them by surprise, but it really heartfelt kind of language. How John was trying to catch his audience. And one more thing is that when you say the word, in the beginning was the word, what was the logos? Straight away they understand too, because it was their custom. When God wants to speak to the Israelite, he will speak through the prophet. And the prophet will always come to the Israelite and say, here comes the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord comes unto me. It's always the case. So, the audience is for the Jew and the non-Jew. Are you one of them? In the beginning was the word. What was the word? What is these words? If you read further on, you will find in verse 14, John gives you the answer. The answer is the word became flesh. Who is that? Jesus. He's the one who walked with us, who came onto earth, give up his throne and came to us and live with us so that we understand. To also that he can relate with us. And he is full of grace and full of truth. And he is the glory of God. So that's why it said, who is Jesus? Who is, in the beginning was the words. Who is this Logos? So the audience was trying to capture the world and presenting that the world, the in the beginning was the Logos. Is the beginning was the meaning of life. In the beginning was the reasoning, was the logic that you're looking for. So it resonates really well with the world. So in the beginning, have you felt, when you hear this, right in the beginning, what's the reasoning? What's the logic of life? What is your logic today? What is your reason to live today? How are you feeling? Are you feeling happy? You feeling satisfied or just okay? Many people are dissatisfied today. Why? You know why. We know why. We are all in this. All right? We're very dissatisfied. I believe most of us were dissatisfied because we stopped thinking. We stopped thinking about this logos. We stopped thinking about the purpose, the meaning, the reason that why we exist. We focus so much that we get depressed. We get distressed about everything. Every time we wake up, it's just another day of lockdown. Every time we walk out the door, oh, I got to wear my mask again. Church, I think we should refocus ourselves. There's nothing we can do about it. But what we can do is to embrace the new normal. Embrace this new normal so that we focus and ask ourselves, rather than asking, why is this happening? When is this going to stop? You might say, why don't we ask ourselves, say, why am I alive today?
why am I still alive today? There must be a purpose. There must be a reason why God keep me alive today. So what is your reason? How are you feeling right now? If you feel depressed, feel stressed, let me tell you something. There's nothing. Nothing that ever happened in your life can take Jesus by surprise. You know that? Because in the beginning, He was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. You can't take Him by surprise. Before everything happened, He knew. And then furthermore, if you read further, verse 3 and 4, it gives you, said, through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made. What does that tell you? He's the Maker. He's not just the Logos that was there before everything ever exists. He was the God. He was the Maker. Now, a Maker, what does that give you? A Maker means He's the author, He's the designer. He has every single authority to be in control of all His creation, right? Imagine you are in the art gallery, or imagine any art effect, or any invention, all right? The creator, the inventor, the designer has all the full authority to do every alteration or any alteration he or she like. The term copyright came onto my mind lately. Why? Because I was trying to hunt down songs for you. And I'm trying to write to everyone, write to as many people, as many organizations as I can, to try to get their permission for the copyright for us to do live stream. Why do I need to get copyright? Because they have the authorship. They are the one who created it. Look, if humankind need copyright, have a copyright stamp on it, why don't you think, how come, why? What about God? God has every right, every authority for that copyright. When you look at God, He is the Maker. If He is the Maker, He has such an authority to create heaven and earth. Don't you think He has the authority to be in control of you and my life? He is the Maker. So remember, when you're feeling depressed, always remember, there's nothing in your life that happened that will take Jesus by surprise. He knew. Remember that. And the final point for today is that He is the life. He is the life. He was the life, and that life was the light of the man. The light shines into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now, what does that mean? First of all, we need to look at what is the life. What is the life here means? Now, there's a few ways of saying life in Greek. All right? But John chose the word Zoe. Zoe here means that it's a spiritual, or you can call it eternal life. It's not bios. Bios, if you use the word bios, it means our physical life. All right? The life that physically, our cell, everything that you see me. But when you use Zoe, it's different. So what you can say here, you can rephrase this as that in Jesus, in Him means Jesus, in Jesus was the eternal life. And that spiritual life was the light of man. However, when that eternal life of Jesus shine into man's our life, we stumble. That's what it means about these two verses. Why do we stumble? Isn't that obvious? Because when God's life, when the life of God come into you and come into your space and show you how He lives, and show you His godliness, His holiness, His righteousness, His everything, and His love. Can you compete? We can't. Because everywhere we look, we fail. We fall short the moment we compare our life with God's life. That's what it means when the eternal life of Jesus come into this world, come into that. He can be the, this life can guide man's life, can guide our life, can shine up our life. But the moment you shine up our life, we are exposed. It's just like darkness. Without the presence of light, everything is covered. The moment the room lights up, everything is uncovered. You can see everything so clearly, beautiful and ugly, everything you can see. That's what happened when Jesus came into our life. It showed us that we are sinners. It showed us that we need help. There's nothing we can do about it. It sounds pretty narrow, but this is the truth. That's what John is trying to say. Believe in the truth about Jesus so that you may enter a new relationship, a love relationship with God. So church, let me leave you with this. What is your logos? What is your meaning? What is your reason to live on? What is your purpose in life? I mean, okay, make it simple. What get you up in the morning? What? Your looks? Your wealth? Your education? Your relationship? Church, if you think about it, if we place our focus on this, all this thing is going to consume us the moment we try to keep it. Think about it. You try to keep a relationship. You know how much effort it is to maintain a relationship? You know how much effort it is to keep your wealth? If this is our logos, if this is all this is your meaning of life, then you're going to stumble. We're going to stumble in the darkness. We're going to keep stumbling until we find the logos. Until you find Jesus to be your logos, you're going to keep stumbling in darkness. So church, your only two choice. Today, John present to us a choice. Give us a choice. Say, Jesus is the God. Jesus is the maker. And Jesus is the life of light. And He is the logos that we are living for. You have two choices. One is that you either accept this grace and spend eternity with Him, or you reject this and spend eternity without God. I leave that choice to you. If you need any prayer, I'm happy to pray for you. I'm happy to pray with you. If you want to come to Jesus, by all means, contact me. You got my details. Get in touch with anyone. You got onto our live stream. You definitely, later on, there will be advertisement. There will be an email address, ways to contact us. Try every means to contact us. Because this Jesus really, really want to be the logos of your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for being our logos. We thank you so much to being the meaning of our life. Well, until we finally found you as the purpose that we are, why we are alive today, there's no meaning to anything that we do. Father, we just thank you. I just want that ask that your Spirit will continue to protect us and continue to comfort us for all people who are listening today, for all people around us. A lot of them are feeling depressed and stressed out about things because they have not found the purpose. They have not found you as their logos. And Lord, I just ask that your Spirit will shine into their life and help them to overcome this situation and find the true meaning of their life. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.